We've got to snatch victory from the jaws of defeat here. Now, I'm honored to have him on the show with his busy schedule. He's been in court all last week and all this week. We had him on about a year ago. He's Stanley Hilton. He was brutally attacked by the big government pimps, Hannity and Combs. He was a senior advisor to Bob Dole, counsel for Bob Dole and others in the Republican Party. He's an expert on government-sponsored terrorism, has written a book about it throughout history. And he now has new revelations, never before revealed from his depositions of witnesses involved in and around 911. He represents over 400 of the victims of 911's families, and he's been given almost no attention, while some of the other groups, headed by well-known PR bureaucrats, and we've had them on the show as well, are trying to suppress this information. So joining us is Stanley Hilton. We're honored to have you on the show, Stanley.
Glad to be here.
Tell us just a little bit about yourself, your lawsuit, recap what we covered last year and the last year. Tell us what's developed with the lawsuit and the new revelations that you told me about on the phone.
Well, we filed the lawsuit last May against Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld and several other of the, you know, Rice and the rest of the terrorists and that run the U.S. government for complicity in causing and also in aiding and abetting the 911 attacks in order to promote their political agenda. And we're in the process, you know, these lawsuits, they come in ebbs and tides, they come and they go in terms of level activity, and most of it is done, you know, in confidential, what's called discovery litigation, that is depositions under oath. Battles in court to get documents. We're facing very strong resistance from the government. They're claiming national security over everything, claiming they don't want to release documents, etc. But I'm representing people that are victimized by what the government did. We're also challenging the constitutionality of the so-called USA Patriot Act, as they call it, the Anti-Patriot Act, as I call it, and Patriot Act 1 and 2, with number 2 in the wings that the government plans to introduce this year, which will be even more severe than Patriot Act 1. And in this new one, of Patriot Act 2, they're going to have the right, give Bush the right to declare any American citizen a, quote, enemy combatant, end quote, arbitrarily, and then take away your citizenship. This will give the government the power to literally strip any American of citizenship if Bush says you're an enemy combatant, i.e., political opponent of the government. So anyway, all this is being brought out. We found some very interesting documents and memoranda, including several of those advisors around Bush, namely Wolfowitz, Wormser, Feith, Pearl, the rest of them. And they actually wrote these memos several months before 9/11, in which they fervently wished for a, quote, Pearl Harbor-type incident, end quote, to give them the shock value that would enable them to ram through their agenda.
Now, this, you told me last week before this was on ABC News, that you had gotten some of this information through depositions and some other little tidbits that haven't been disclosed, but I also, you talked about how you've deposed, you've got the marriage certificates, the evidence, the photographs, a woman who was married to one of the hijackers. You talked to, what you said, 6 or 8 people that were connected to them, and then we have the news articles where the FBI gave them homes, paid their rent, followed them around. We know Israel was involved in similar things.
Yep.
Can you speak to that, please?
Yes. Yes, I do have a witness who was married, as an American woman, but she was married to one of the hijackers, and she knew about 7 of them. She met 7 of them. Essentially, these Arab hijackers were double agents. That is, they were operating inside the U.S. for 10 to 15 years in, quote, cells, end quote. Some of them used the term Al-Qaeda. They've used other terms. You know, that's just a word. Al-Qaeda is just a word. I mean, I could, you know, that means nothing. You could call them the Muslim Brotherhood, the Army of God. They go by all sorts of names. But what they are is a series of cells that have been aided and abetted by the U.S. government. This woman was involved, also married to them at the time of the 1993 World Trade Center first bombing and of the Oklahoma City bombing, when in which her, quote, ex-husband actually traveled to Oklahoma City several weeks before the bombings, and they were involved apparently in that. But what we have here is double agents in that they nominally appear to be Arab fanatics. But one of the points that she stressed is they're really not, you know, Muslims. I mean, they're more interested in Playboy than in the Quran. I mean, these people drink. They're very secular. They're not the fanatical Muslim zealots that the Bush criminals would let us believe is what's operating here. What they are is they receive regular payments from the U.S. government. They've been recruited by CIA, FBI, counterintelligence, and so forth, and paid money and allowed to exchange information with U.S. government agents about various activities going on. And
now, let me stop you right there, Mr. Hilton. Everything you said was already backed up by mainstream reports. You've gotten it now in sworn testimony and depositions under oath. But something everybody wants to ignore is that three of the hijackers at least were trained at Pensacola, a naval air station, not at a local airfield on the base by the government. At least now we find out eight of the hijackers under names we heard are still alive in the Middle East on television doing interviews. You know, their faces, their names, same people. We have then Muhammad Atta being sent over to the Defense Language School Monterey. You've talked to Stephen Butler. The colonel there, the dean of the school. So we know this. And then I have the stories on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com in the 911 archives, which is a great research tool for anybody, where they admit, you know, FBI paid for their houses, FBI lived with them, Mossad lived with them. Now, you're saying double agents, and you're saying what we already had the pieces of here without your depositions, but it's a great confirmation that they're involved in World Trade Center 1 in 93.
Yeah,
they're involved in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
But here's the deal. The FBI cooked the bomb, trained the driver, gave the guys the detonators in the first World Trade Center. We know that. That's the New York Times. We know that the feds were inside planting the bombs in Oklahoma City and had these Iraqis outside with McVeigh. I've talked to the police, the FBI. So when you say double agent, I would venture to say that these are double agents who are still alive, who are just seen at the scene of the crime, while the globalists militarily carry out the attacks themselves. That's where the evidence points. But what you've proven and what the news has proven is that they at least receive payments and training and protection, and FBI has been told not to stop these al-Qaeda groups. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, the witness I was talking about personally met Atta. There are two Attas, Mohammed, and then he had a younger brother. And they're alleged to be two of the ones on the airliners. You know, the thing is, these individuals are, in my view, quote, patsies. That is, they were paid by the government. I don't believe that they themselves flew the planes into it. As I said previously, one of our allegations is that the government has this device that we codename Cyclops, that allows the from an airbase nearby to disable the pilot's control of airliners and to fly them by remote control.
Well, that's admitted, decades old. It's called Global Hawk.
Yeah, Global Hawk, right. Of course, the government denies it's been, quote, deployed. They say they've got the technology, but they haven't deployed it.
Let me stop you. This is really key, sir. We're so honored to have you.
Uh-huh.
I've really studied this, and I want to give you, and you probably already have, but I want to reiterate it for listeners. Bush, 2 days after the attack, had a speech in New York, said, in the future, we can remote control these planes and land them so this doesn't happen. And someone reached up and physically grabbed him by the arm to make him shut up. And if you've seen the Masters of Terry, I know you got a copy. We have the two Associated Press articles after you were on our show and brought this up, that you had this from inside military officers.
Yes.
Suddenly, they had a cover story in two AP articles in New York Daily News, all in the film, where they said, oh, lo and behold, 8:30 in the morning, the CIA was running a drill of flying jetliners into buildings in New York and D.C. Just so happened at that very minute they were running this, it just so happened NORAD stood down for an hour and a half to 58 minutes in different cases. I mean, it's incredible when you add all this together. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's right. The official government party line is, well, their first line of defense is that the cosmology is science fiction. It doesn't exist. But that's a total lie. Anybody that works, and I've spoken to hundreds of mechanics and maintenance managers at United Airlines, American Airlines, several others, they all confirm the technology exists.
Well, how do drones operate? The companies in Fort Worth.
Sure, sure. The question is, has it been deployed? The answer is yes, it has. I have one witness who was on the very same United aircraft from Newark, New Jersey to San Francisco 4 days before the September 11th and observed certain individuals on that plane who were then later claimed to be the hijackers. He observed them speaking with a government agent.
Is that Mr. Woods?
I can't disclose names on that right
and
now.
And then he was threatened, because I don't know if it is Woods, but Woods said...
It's not Woods. It's someone else.
Okay.
Someone else.
But
a civilian.
But with Woods, the famous actor, he got off and said, and this is a problem, and FBI came and said, you tell anybody about this, you're going to jail.
Yeah. Well, yes, that's right. The Anti-Patriot Acts 1 and 2, as I call them, are the tools which you know, are very similar to what happened in Nazi Germany. Hitler's enabling act after the Reichstag fire gave him dictatorial power. That's the goal here. That's the end run. This is what we have to look at, what their purpose ultimately is. I mean, this attempt to invade Iraq now for no purpose is coming in, next week or the week after, is just, you know, starting. This was planned long before 9/11. These people around Wolfowitz and so forth. I mean, I went to school with Wolfowitz. I was in the same university in the late 60s when he was very active with the Israelis over there at the University of Chicago and so forth. He was pursuing a PhD. And these people have an agenda. And, you know, it's not an agenda that helps the American people. It's an attempt to use this country and its power to wreck this country in service of another a nefarious and ulterior goal.
Now, Mr. Hilton, there's a lot to cover. Can we just go through your depositions? And this is incredibly dangerous. You have incredible, amazing honor and will, and I mean this, sir. God bless you. People like you are going to save this country. Your witnesses do. You know what you're doing is very, very dangerous. I'm going to be honest with you. I hope you have large life insurance policies.
Yeah.
I need them, too. Well, no, what you're really doing pierces the veil, and you're on target. But there's so many of us now, it's while they're on the run and we're on the march.
Yeah.
Go down some of the key stuff you've got in depositions. I don't want to give your whole case away because they listen.
Sure.
But...
Right. Well, as I mentioned, the individual on the aircraft that was later hijacked 4 days later, same flight, same destination, Newark to San Francisco, what he observed, and what others on that plane, including United flight attendants, observed. These individuals that 4 days later were said to be on the planes that crashed it, and their government controls. And the term is tradecraft, meaning basically spying, counter-spying, and one of the terms in tradecraft is control, the agent that controls. These Arabs that were alleged to have done it had controls, and some of our discoveries have identified some of these people. They are FBI and CIA agents.
Agents or case officers, and then they have their little minion drones with them.
Yeah, these people operate in cells. The cells are from 6 to 12 individuals, and the cells move around, for instance, from Portland, Oregon to San Diego. It's just one example. They didn't move all 6 or 12 of them by chance. They were instructed to do it. Their locations, their schools, their apartments, etc., that were bought here. Again, this is from a direct eyewitness on this, and this has been verified with, you know, marriage certificate documents, photographs with bin Laden and his brothers,
paid for by the U.S. government. That's official.
Yeah.
Associated Press, Washington Post, and they just kind of brushed that over.
See, the thing is that you look back in 93 and 95, Oklahoma City World Trade Center, you say, well, Clinton was in power, whereas now it's Bush. So you say, well, how could it be the same players here? Answer is that the shadow government transcends individual political puppets that occupy 1600 Pennsylvania. I mean, you know, it doesn't really make much difference whether it's Clinton or Bush. There are other, the shadow government, as I call it, essentially is, you know, continuous. And these bureaucrats that you've got there in the Pentagon, State Department, White House, etc., you know, they last, they stay on. They stay on from administration to administration pursuing a certain agenda. And I think this is all part of a pattern. And the latest example, manifestation, was 9/11, but, you know, you've got that. You've got the anthrax attacks, which happened conveniently right after 9/11.
Well, that turns out most weaponized form of anthrax ever seen, U.S. government patented design at just micron, incredibly small levels, coated in bentonite, sent, and then Bush is on Cipro, the anthrax antibiotic,
yeah,
on September 10th with his cabinet. Judicial Watch tries to serve a summons to depose the press secretary who admitted this, and they tell him at the front gate, you'll be arrested if you depose us.
Yeah.
Did you hear about that?
Yes, I did.
Stay there. I mean, Clinton didn't even do that. Stanley Hilton, an amazing man. We'll be right back.
Are you for Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
All right, I know we've got loaded phone lines, and we'll take your calls for Mr. Hilton in the next hour. Again, this guy knows what he's talking about, has worked in some of the highest levels of the U.S. government, in the U.S. Senate, has counseled Bob Dole. He's a good American. He knows tyranny when he sees it. Same thing with me. You know, again, I've been a Republican for years, but I'm not this type of Republican. I love America, the Bill of Rights. These neocons are the worst of Stalin and Hitler rolled into one, and I'm not using those terms for effect. These are scary people. Mr. Hilton, from your experience, what type of groups, people, the shadow government, which they just announced, remember, last year, that we've known about for years, and what does the shadow government want this world to be like?
Basically, a one-world globalist tyranny controlled by them, of course, the neocons, neoconservatives, so-called. But they're not really conservatives. They're radicals, because they're seeking a radical destruction of our way of life for the last 200 years. They're basically introducing an alien, anti-American form of tyranny, which has more to do with old Europe and Asia than it has to do with this country. And many of the ultimate goal, of course, is to advance their own agenda. Certainly, expansion of Israel's borders from the Nile to the Euphrates, as they say the Bible mandates, is certainly a major goal, no question about it. Emulation of Sharon's government in Israel, turn the U.S. into sort of a super Israel, I think, is another purpose. And if you look at what's going on now with the propaganda war, all this 9/11 serve and exaggerations and lies and so forth by these criminals around Bush, you know, that is certainly aimed at the agenda. Territorial expansion of Israel in the Middle East, the major goal, is no question.
You know, that's a key motive I haven't talked enough about, but we do have the trillions of dollars of oil, the weapon sales, the 1.7 to 1.9 trillion cost of a five-year occupation paid into the Carlyle Group and others, the domestic police state crackdown, the smokescreen for economic collapse while they consolidate, while they suck Enron and other companies drive, and they can declare national security on investigations of that. But I would agree with you about Israel, because and what makes me lean more towards what you're saying is that, as being one of the central, you know, crown jewels, or the, you know, the star of the crown there, one of the big ones, the headpiece, is that the announcement 3 months ago by Reuters, by Israel, the government's going to let us kill American citizens in America. No judge, no jury, no nothing. They're just going to kill us. And now James Weapons, this is mainstream, you know, the big world weapons tracker, came out about Israel and other sort of the Times of London with race-specific viruses and bacteria to kill other races other than themselves. That is the ultimate of Hitlerian type activities.
Well, you know, the term is used has been Zionazis. I think it's an apt term, Zionazis. And I think it's ironic because, you know, the Nazis based their theory on the, quote, protocols of the elders of Zion, which are alleged to be a fake by the Tsar, claiming the Jews wanted world conquest. Now we've got the complete reverse, where the current Zion Nazis in Israel and their friends here in the Bush administration and elsewhere are emulating the Hitler. That's right. It comes full circle. Essentially, it's the same thing. Whether you call them Jews or non-Jews, the point is it's the same ideology. Tyranny.
Yeah, it could be Chinese. You know, you said the Asian model.
Sure.
I mean, it's just old-fashioned, you know, Egyptian, Babylonian, ancient tyranny.
Yeah. The word, Hitler used the word Jew. Today, the word we're using is terrorist. This term terrorist can apply to anybody. As I said, they're attempting to legalize it, just as Hitler had the 1935 Nuremberg laws outlawing Jews. Well, now they're trying to come up with anti-patriot laws, too, to outlaw any kind of dissent and to call you a terrorist if you attack Bush or these criminals around him, these alien criminals. And I think that the agenda is clear. It's to turn American people into Palestinian slaves. I mean, that's what it seems to me, just as the Israelis are treating the Palestinians there as subhumans.
And then to legitimize that, they founded Hamas, which is now admitted. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Is the lack of privacy bugging you? Peace of mind is now within your reach. The Bug Detector offers state-of-the-art protection.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Whether it's Adolf Hitler or Saddam Hussein, the globalists, the New World Order, has funded and trained them to bring you the crises so they can offer their solution, world government. We're talking to Stanley Hilton. He is the lawyer for over 400 of the victims' families of 911. He's suing the government not just for prior knowledge, but for complicity. He now, to recap, has the evidence from depositions, government agents, you name it, wives of supposed hijackers, that they were paid, funded, housed, protected by the U.S. government. That's all come out in mainstream news, but a piece here, a piece there. Oh, the FBI, in a strange twist, owned the houses where the hijackers lived and paid them. In another twist, they were trained in a secret military program at Pensacola. On and on and on. L.A. Times, before the attacks, Bush sends $134 million to the Taliban. They're in business together. The Bin Ladens are in satellites and oil, and they just bought the Carlyle Group, Universal Studios, and they're buying up radio networks and TV. And you've got all this happening, and you add it all together. Mr. Hilton, have you heard him talk about how torture's good, and as if that's not enough of terrorist suspects? Now yeah. They want to torture terrorist suspects' children, but the Patriot Act in Section 802 says that any action that endangers human life that's a violation of any federal or state law, as a lawyer, as Bob Dole's former chief counsel, what does that mean when the definition is any action that endangers human life that's a violation of federal or state law? This isn't just going to be the Arabs that get tortured, is it?
No, it's just a blank check for the government to completely destroy democracy and torture any dissenter. Alan Dershowitz, the professor of so-called professor of law at Harvard, which is my alma mater, Harvard University Law School, he's the one that's coming out with, of course, this calling for torture. I believe he testified before a Senate committee a few weeks ago.
Stick needles under their fingers.
Yeah. Well, him in his book of Chutzpah and elsewhere, there's another Israeli firster, dual loyalist, but, I should say, I don't know if I'd even use the term dual loyalist, I think Israeli loyalist. I mean, these are the people behind this. They use
them. Well, it is bizarre. It was Abrams on the Abrams Report on MSNBC said, let's torture people's children. Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry, torturing children is wrong, and we are seeing this unified, Nazi-like, weird race thing.
Yeah. Well, this is, I hope this will backfire on them because this is outrageous. It's an attempt to, there's a word in Hebrew called goyim, G-O-Y-I-M, which means non-Jews, and it means cattle is what it means. And so I think that summarizes it all. You torture the cattle. What difference does it make? They're not the master race. You cannot have first-class citizenship in Israel unless you're born from a Jewish mother. Now, if that's not racism, you tell me what it is. These are the people we're dying for. I mean, that's the law of Israel. It's, you can be born in Milwaukee, and as long as your mother is Jewish, you can become an Israeli citizen. But if you're born in Jerusalem and you don't have a Jewish mother, you can't. Now, you tell me if that's not racist.
Well,
Israel's got
a big problem because the left wing has woken up to the incredible racism we're dealing with here.
Yeah.
And whether it's Hitler or Jiang Zemin or Israel involved in all this, it's wrong. Now,
yeah.
And when they're saying they're going to come in here and kill American citizens with no trial, I mean, if it was Russians doing that, would we put up with it?
Well, Russia is, I guess, our friend now. Bush is cozying up to Putin now. I guess, he's saying Chechnya, the genocide in Chechnya is okay because they're terrorists there. I mean, why are these people suddenly our friends? I thought the whole Cold War for 50 years is there.
And by the way, Putin got his war. He was caught blowing up apartment buildings. That's mainstream news. Blaming it on the Chechnyans.
Theaters. Yeah, Putin is just another version of the Russian czars and the commissars and so on. And now these are people are being presented as friends, and as Bush is saying, he's looking into this fellow's eyes and seeing a great man. I mean, Putin is an ex-KGB person. What do you expect from him?
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
This is the people that are being presented as models for this government. These are the individuals calling for torture and stuff that are supposed to be leading this country.
Totally sick. We'll come back and take calls and recap some of the top news.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We're talking to Stanley Hilton, chief counsel to Bob Dole, one of the architects of the Strategic Petroleum Initiative to get that set up. And he, of course, is a Harvard graduate. He represents 400 of the victims' families, according to press reports. Over 400 of the victims' families of 911, and he isn't charging prior knowledge. He has the evidence. He's done the depositions on the facts, ladies and gentlemen, confirmed by news articles that already came out. He just went and documented it for himself that the FBI and CIA handles and controls radical Islam. Yitzhak Rabin, right before he was assassinated by Mossad, who's a good man for telling the truth, said, I apologize, he said at Tel Aviv University, the Jerusalem Post reported, for the fact that Israel founded Hamas to destabilize the region so there can never be a true peace. So whether it's Bush or the communist Chinese or the radical Israelis, these globalists need crises. They want war. They want slavery. They want this to happen. And it's happening, whether you're a Saxe-Coburg, Gotha German like Bush, or Ariel Sharon, they're all together in this New World Order. And they want, and look, when they start talking about torturing terrorist suspects' children and assassinating Americans, that's when I come out and say no. Now, I know we've got Andy and Jackie and Gordon and Dan and Kevin. They've all been holding, wanting to talk to you. Any other key depositions you've done, not just with military officers or witnesses of the feds protecting the hijackers on planes and training them, or people inside the airlines with the Global Hawk on these aircraft, all of this, break it down. Any other key smoking gun pieces of evidence, and where's your lawsuit going? I've read in the press the government's declaring national security on that and on the firefighter tapes that were reporting bombs going off. They first said all the tapes malfunctioned. Turns out they're all there, grabbed by Bush. Can you break all this down for us? Any other key areas?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of this that I can't really talk about on the air for obvious reasons, and but I think the evidence is building, and we're going to eventually get it out to light of day in a public trial, which we hope to bring next year here in the federal court. And it's part of a larger agenda, but what's really going on is we hope to examine the constitutionality of this Anti-Patriot Act, because it's clearly unconstitutional. The Eighth Amendment says you can't use cruel and unusual punishment. Dershowitz and pals and his friends around Bush, of course, don't think that means a damn thing. And they want to bring about a lawless society under the guise of laws. Lawless. And it's really largely political. But I think the evidence will show that these criminals have not only got to be removed from power, but brought to justice for their crimes, including mass murder and attempt to destroy this country's democracy.
Well, I would say our constitutional republic. And, Mr. Hilton, I would add to that that across the board here, you read Patriot Act 2, and I've written an analysis of it on Infowars.com. I mean, it says they can grab you for any reason, not even knowing that you aided a terrorist, grab you, not ever telling when they grabbed you, you're a missing person, and then it's got a subsection on secret executions.
Yeah, this sounds like something out of a fiction, bad fiction novel, but, you know, throughout history, totalitarian regimes have used terror as a instrument of state policy, and that's what we have today. It's just a continuation of history. I mean, the czars in Russia used it, the Nazis used it, the communists used it. It's nothing new. This is just a new guise, and they're bringing about selective terror. I would suspect that they'll try something again, maybe not quite as spectacular as 9/11, but certainly something of that nature to try and again galvanize what's called the GSR, galvanic skin response, to get the people scared to death, and so they'll give up more and more of their rights, but it's all an illusion. What we need to do is get rid of these criminals, bring them to justice, have them arrested under a real tribunal, and put them on trial for their crimes against not only the American people, but their crimes against humanity.
Well, it's amazing. You know, the world is getting wise to this. The majority of people in Europe, and I've read the polls, are saying the globalists carry 911 out.
Oh, yeah.
And So where is your suit going? I mean, how are they trying to block it using national security?
By refusing to give us documents that we've subpoenaed, documents that we've demanded by the regular court processes, by claiming that there is national security overrides any need for information in a suit. They've also attempted to bribe several of the plaintiffs. One of the fellows I used to work with in the U.S. Senate named Ken Feinberg, he's in charge of handing out what I call sugar-coated bribes, that is, monetary awards to any of the victims of 9/11, their families, who will drop their suits or waive their right to sue. And in fact, some of them have brought suit against him. I know that guy personally because I used to work with him in the Senate Judiciary Committee. And that's what, that's one of the things they're trying to do. But as far as my suit is concerned, you know, they're trying to raise this this blanket of national security. And so a lot of it is involved now in the you know, litigation process and so forth. I mean, they can claim that to hide everything, to hide what they're doing. It, you know, that's just a word. That means nothing. National security. What does that mean? Especially when we're accusing these very individuals of sabotaging national security of this country to pursue their own political agenda.
Well, the new Patriot Act gets rid of almost all civil rights suits and court orders and gives them total immunity, just like Bush with Homeland Security gave vaccine makers immunity for autism class action suits. So,
yeah.
I mean, you're right. It's just criminals giving themselves immunity.
That's right. That's right. Well, of course, you know, in Nazi Germany, you can't sue Hitler. Did anybody try to sue Hitler? No, he got immunity, too. And the same is true as communist or czarist Russia, Mao Zedong in China, what have you. You know, you cannot enforce your rights unless you can bring these criminals to justice in a court of law, and they're trying to take away that right. Not only that way, but in many other ways, trying to attack so-called, quote, trial lawyers, end quote, totally take away people's rights, con them into believing that you should just blindly follow Bush, make Bush a god. You know, and it's really very frightening.
What did you think? Because I had Judicial Watch on. Judicial Watch is suing Bush for the workers there at the post office who wouldn't get treatment even after the anthrax attacks were going. Turns out Bush and his cabinet were on Cipro. Judicial Watch twice tried to serve papers to the White House press secretary, who admitted in a press conference October 10th of 2001 that they were all on Cipro. And they tried to deliver the subpoena, you know, for the deposition, and they said, we'll arrest you. This is in the news. Under the Patriot Act, if you drop that subpoena. Now, Clinton would accept subpoenas. Now they're threatening to arrest people for terrorism if they give somebody a subpoena.
Yeah. Well, it's absurd, but it's like the situation in the Albany, New York Mall where they arrest a guy for wearing a peace T-shirt. I mean, we're clearly losing civil liberties here. It's just really awful. And the way you do that, you undermine, like a termites, you know, you undermine and destroy the foundation of people's freedom. And you have people themselves going, I have a client here in San Francisco who was fired by Neiman Marcus a couple weeks ago because he was distributing some of your literature, Alex, like your videotapes and some of those the deception dollars that have Bush's face as a, you know, as basically a war criminal and as a big brother. And these people arrested him. They put him in handcuffs. They beat him up. They escorted him out of there and they fired him. And they said the country's in war. And
by the way, he's a listener of this show, Abel Ash. During when the security guy walked him in, he was doing this during his lunch break, which everybody was doing. Everybody was giving stuff out during lunch break. And he said to him, you're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to speak out. We're at war. You can't do that. And then fired him. So that is, it shows the mindset, the insane mindset.
Yeah. Well, it's like very much like the analogy with termites. I mean, the criminals, what they're doing is they're sending out the termites to undermine the foundation of the country. And just as with termites, you can think there's a brilliant house there and it's ready to collapse because of the rot inside. That's what's happening here. This country is rotting away, and these termites are conning average citizens, security guards, mall guards, to go out against people, and they're saying, you know, put a American flag bumper sticker on, that makes you a patriot. Meanwhile, you're destroying the very principles the flag is supposed to...
There you go.
Yeah.
We have listeners that are really patient. Can we take some calls?
Sure.
Andy in Ohio, and then Jackie, Gordon, Dan, and Kevin. Go ahead, Andy.
Hey, Alex, good to talk to you.
You bet. You're on the air with our guest.
I'm really pleased to talk to you, Mr. Hilton.
Thank you.
And I wanted to ask you, Do you think that on September 11th, were there hijackers on those planes or not?
It's hard to say since we've never seen, from a legal point of view, the bodies. There's never been autopsies and so forth. We've never identified bodies.
But there was a passport found in the rubble, uncharred.
Yeah.
It turns out 8 of the 19 are still alive.
Yeah.
It's clear they're patsies, as he said, just seen on camera. We know that. What he's focusing on is who paid their rent, the FBI.
Yeah.
Who protected them? Who told FBI agents not to stop them? The FBI, CIA, W199I, Bush. Is that what you're saying, Mr. Hilton? You can prove they work for the U.S. government.
Oh, yes, that they were on the government's payroll. There's no question. As I said earlier, double agents, in some cases triple agents. But, you know, the point is that what we have here is a situation where, in my opinion, some of those alleged 19 were on the plane, some were not. The person that was used to be married to my witness, for example, we have some evidence to believe that he's still alive, that he's contacted her. And so how could he be dead in a crash when he's contacting her now? I mean, this is the kind of stuff we're dealing with now. These are individuals that were groomed by the U.S. government and that were protected.
And you said you have depositions, and this is what I already had, too, that they were involved in Oklahoma City and World Trade Center 1.
Yeah, that they took trips out there shortly before the April 19, 95 bombings, et cetera, and that, you know, even the date there, Hitler's birthday being April 20th, you know, that was all, of course, hinting at anti-Semitism because Hitler is the anti-Semite. So
trying to blame it on the right wing using Islamic proxies, now we see the story being circulated that the real right wing that fights the New World Order is connected to Saddam. And why would Clinton, after these guys were arrested by good FBI, order their release? And why wouldn't the feds release the surveillance camera footage of them bombing the building? Correct, Stanley?
Yes.
So showing government operatives being protected to later be linked up with the American people to stick Homeland Security on, let's face it, white people. Get you trained to accept it, to get the Arabs, then it's for everybody. We'll be right back. Big. All right.
I got a song.
Stanley Hilton's Green Show with us for another 20 minutes, so we'll have time to get to all your calls. Jackie in Oklahoma, you're on the air with the attorney suing George Bush for complicit action in 911, which is totally documented. A 10-year-old can figure that out if we can just get the people to face the facts. Jackie, go ahead.
Hi, Alex. We love you. I called in before I even realized that you had a guest speaker.
I know you've been holding. Do you have any comments or questions for our guest?
Well, God bless you, Mr. Hilton, for your efforts. My concern is that with the powers of being having you know, as much power and control as they do, if we're going to be able to you know, actually get in a control crisis that you know, is predicted, that may happen. And my question for you, Alex, is that there's a deterrent of what's going on, really, and that could be this planet headed this way.
Well, let me try to boil down what you're saying. The globalists, as Stanley said earlier, are going to blow more stuff up to legitimize their war. We criticize it, point out how it's wrong. They go, we got to do this to protect you. My job is to protect the American people, Bush said over and over again. They blow more stuff up. He poses as our savior. National talk show host out there, Michael Savage, has said anyone that criticizes the government should be put in a forced labor camp. He's now on national TV, MSNBC, there on the Nazi channel, same place where Abrams says, you know, torture kids. He's on there saying put us in forced labor camps. So they're setting up this paradigm. That's why it's so important to expose them, the globalists, for being involved in 911, then that neutralizes them. Mr. Hilton, any comments?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that there's no question that when she mentions, you know, is how about they have so much power and all this. Well, all these tyrannical governments put on the shield of power.
They always fall because of their own nature.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look at Russia. They had the communist tyranny, but it fell eventually, I mean, you know, because people were sick of it. If it's rotten from the inside, like, you know, like a termite analogy again, the structure will collapse. It could be a mansion, it could be a fortress, but if you chip away at it enough and the underlying population realizes what this fraudulent deception is, eventually it'll collapse from within. It'll implode, as Lincoln would say. It's an implosion.
But could all this be a deterrent? The possibility, and I know Alex didn't want to talk about it, of this planet headed this way.
Oh, that's total diversion, total government hijack.
Of the what?
Just don't worry about it. I appreciate the call, Jackie.
Okay.
My goodness. It's just the government controls the fake conspiracy shows, and they talk about kooky stuff, and then everybody picks it up and goes with all that, and then nothing, and then it diverts everybody. Let me tell you what the big thing the globalists are worried about. The people getting advanced technologies, the people getting life extension, sovereign nations having their own sovereignty, and the global empire losing control. That's why they're racing to do this. Let's go to Gordon. Gordon, where are you calling from tonight?
I'm coming from Toronto.
Welcome from Canada. Go ahead.
Hi. I really appreciate your show. And hi, Mr. Hilton.
Hello.
First time I heard about you was at the Washington protest in October. I went there to attend, and I was given a pamphlet where I discovered that you were representing family members. And so I really appreciate your work and your
almost
bravery.
Total news blackout, and he represents more families than anybody else.
Right. Actually, Alex, for you, I have something interesting. A couple of weeks ago, I don't know the man, but I came across him. His name is Rocco Galati. He was the lawyer for Delmart Vreeland, and it was in a conference at University of Toronto, and he mentioned his name, so I waited after the conference to speak to him, and I approached him, asked if he indeed was Rocco Galati. He said yes, and I asked him what had happened to Delmart Vreeland, and he drew closer and whispered that he's dead. I speculated that he was killed in August, and he said that he had been killed September the 4th of 2002.
Now, you're saying his lawyer said this?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Did Mike Rupert write about this?
Not yet. Not that I've seen. But
well, I don't know if that's a true story. Were you familiar with the Vreeland story, Mr. Hilton?
No.
Well, he was this guy who did pass the jail guard, said he was naval intelligence. He was in jail fleeing the U.S. government up in Canada.
Oh, wait a minute. I think I know now. I do know who it is. Yes,
and
I do.
He gave him the letter saying the World Trade Center is going to get knocked down. That was confirmed. And,
yes.
And then this caller from Toronto is saying he's dead. I don't know if that's the case. I'll have to find out.
I know who it is, but I don't know whether he's alive or not. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I think Galati's a good man. I don't think he's lying. That's what he may believe right now.
Why would he whisper that? We'll try to find out what happened. I'll make some calls, okay? I don't like to speculate. I like to stick to what we can prove.
Absolutely. I just want to mention that the next day was when he was due for court for his trial.
This is the fellow who was at ONI, Office of Naval Intelligence?
That's
ONI, right.
And the next day he was due in court.
All right, thanks for the call. We don't know if that's true. I have to check this stuff out. There's so much, there's an endless sea of real news. Why speculate? We'll be right back with more calls for our guests.
This is GCN.
What do you do without freedom? Will you fight? Against that? No! We will run! And we will live. Die. Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live.
At least a while.
And dying in your bed many years from now. Would you be willing to trade all the day from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
Segment with Stanley Hilton. I've been so honored to have him on the show with incredible revelations tonight. Amazing courage. If more of us had it, we could save this country. There's a human cycle of tyranny, and this one is waxing probably worse than ever seen in world history. We must defeat it. Let's talk to Dan in New York. You're on the air with Stanley Hilton. Go ahead, Dan.
Hi, it's an honor to talk to you both. I'm from Lovetown, New York, the hometown of your good friend Bill O'Reilly, actually. And I watched The Road to Tyranny, and I've been visiting InfoWars quite often lately. And ever since 9/11, I've been a patriot, and I've loved this country so much, and I've seen what Bush has been doing. it's been making me sick. I mean, I'm 18 years old, and I know kids in my school, they just don't care about this kind of stuff. And it doesn't faze them. They don't see the big danger.
They're going to care when they get drafted to serve in Homeland Army in the 63 countries, 62 countries they want to hit. Mr. Hilton?
Yes. They'll care if they get handed an M16 and a khaki pants and a uniform to go out, you know, and fight for senseless wars in Iraq, Israel, or whatever, for a thing, something that has nothing to do with American security.
No, I totally agree with you. And what I want to call about is the National History Day was this past Sunday. I wrote a paper that was kind of anti-war. I basically said that the Gulf War is about oil, and then this is the whole entire motive behind the war. And the judge kind of shut me out. I mean, they were nice. They weren't mean people. I'm not going to hold that against them, but they were pretty biased. And
oh, yeah, in some public schools in the East, there's been several articles, they say pro-peace papers are hurting the children of military people's feelings, so those won't be allowed now.
Well, you know, there was, I tell you that as far as the war is concerned, you know, there was a congressman up there near Northern Virginia that was attacked by the media, the mainstream media, just a few days ago, because he said this war is about Israel, and he was, of course, immediately accused of being anti-Semitic, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, not only are you accused of being a terrorist and of being anti-government, but you're accused of being an anti-Semite if you just exercise your freedom of speech about what's going on.
And again, Stanley Hilton, former chief counsel for Bob Dole. And I think he pointed out, well, you oppose the tyranny of communist Russia, the tyranny of Adolf Hitler, the tyranny of Bush, the tyranny of Israel, the tyranny of Iraq, any of these countries.
Yeah.
But you're right. You're not even supposed to just criticize. And I'm angry at Israel saying they're going to assassinate American citizens without a trial here in America. I mean, we'd be mad if the Chinese said they do that. We'd be mad if the Mexican troops, which are doing that, by the way, they got bounties on Border Patrol's heads, but Israel can do it, and it is wrong, and that is happening, and I agree we should speak out against it, and I think the left wing should get more focused not on making the UN the big authority, because it's all controlled as well, but pointing out this whole, as you said, this shadow world government,
yeah,
this world fascist state is using these organs. Anything else, Dan?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that, I mean, I feel really bad that I'm kind of like, my generation is just, they just don't care about it.
Apathetic, apathetic.
It really is, but I mean,
it was 5% that won the Revolutionary War in 1776.
Yeah.
It was 2% that started it, sir. So, believe me, our numbers, Stanley, wouldn't you say our numbers are probably 10-15%?
Minorities have always wielded the cutting edge of history, you know. It's always been a minority. Even if you look at the Bolsheviki or the Nazis, started out with 7 people. The revolutionary people, there were very few who were adamantly against the British tyranny. That's true. Minorities have always wielded the cutting edge of history.
Yeah, so you don't want, I mean, I don't mean to be mean, but somebody watching American Idol drooling, drinking whiskey, or snorting cocaine, those poor, sad people, we're trying to protect their rights. They'll never thank us, but it doesn't matter. We're protecting our family and our children. Thanks for the call, Dan.
No problem.
Yeah, I mean, people start talking about torturing kids, I come out against them. It's that simple.
Well, it's being done in the Middle East every day now. You know, the Palestinians are being tortured and murdered every day, so it's nothing new.
Well, I've seen the video of them shooting 5-year-old kids, and
yeah,
it's wrong. And then you find out Israel founded Hamas. That's Yitzhak,
yeah,
Rabin. That's not me. The United Press International. Let's talk to Kevin in Pennsylvania. Kevin, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Good evening, Alex. And I'd like to say hi to your guests. And I also like to say to the gentleman that called right before me that I am part of your generation. I'm 23 years old, and I see it. Alex, and I haven't been able to get your video yet, The Road to Tyranny, but guess what? I found a way to hook my shortwave radio into my stereo, so I can just snap off the back of it and hook the speaker wire to the two terminals of the speaker and then hook it into the in-jacks of the tape deck, and it tapes it in stereo, even though the radio only broadcast comes out mono, so I can start giving out your programs.
That is a great thing to do. You also ought to call a local station and get them to
I'm going to do better. I'm going to send tapes of it to the local radio stations of your programs, you know, and figure out which ones that I tape are the best, most compelling. Also, I'd like to say that I saw a little advertisement on the Weather Channel for Homeland Security, 1-800-BE-READY, and I called that up, and I played them, and I played the number that you call for the makers of the Mark of the Beast, Fly Digital, I played them your commercial.
Well, I just want to say something about this so-called homeland. I call it homeland insecurity because that's the real purpose.
Oh, I call it the Department of the New World Order.
I mean, it's a Nazi term.
Yeah. Homeland insecurity, the purpose is to make Americans insecure, not secure.
Yeah.
Let me just tell you this briefly. The lady that's a witness that was married to one of the hijackers, she has been interviewed by the FBI 30 times and has told them various things which they have then used to for this orange alert and red alert. She's actually shown me how they've used some things that was totally made up. And
hey,
so this is a complete fraud.
Nothing happened when they put up the alert. I think that was because they knew people were like kind of like they went
no,
on edge. They went
so
on
when
edge.
They blow stuff up, they go, see, we warned you.
Yeah.
Now when there's an orange alert, we're going to lock the cities down. Washington Post reported...
Oh, I heard of that on KYW on the radio station in my area.
Hold on, let me tell you this. Under a red alert, your children will be taken at school to a FEMA center. You won't be allowed to get them. Go ahead.
Close. That's what they were saying on... There's a school around here. They're going... terrorism. Well, we got to keep food and supplies. They won't let... Now they... And they're saying they don't want... They might not let you get your kids.
Well,
school.
Let me just tell you, one of the people we've interviewed for the case is a former top official at FEMA who was there during the Reagan administration and the first Bush administration. And, again, FEMA... being one of the agencies that would swing into action in the event of a, quote, emergency, has blueprints for establishing martial law in this country.
Mr. Hilton, hold on. We posted mainstream news articles last week where they admit giant 1 million-man concentration camps with Rocky Mountain News, with incinerators and mass graves already ready.
Man, taking tips from Hitler, huh?
Well, yeah. Let me tell him, Mr. Hilton, I'm not joking. I can see the article.
I believe it, yeah. These
maybe
people are dangerous.
The Antichrist.
They're criminal.
The Antichrist, or you think it's Maitreya or what? Because I thought it
no,
was
No, sir,
Maitreya.
I don't get into all those weird groups. And
I go on coast to coast. I emailed them to get you on.
Well, I appreciate it.
I'm doing all I can to fight the New World Order. I am.
All right, bro. Thanks for the call.
Right.
The poor folks in Rwanda, when the UN was killing them, thought that it was the Antichrist and they were about to get raptured out. It didn't happen. Same thing with Hitler, folks. God helps those that help themselves. I believe in God. I'm a Christian. But I believe we got it. These phony churches have been infiltrated by the government. They're telling you to lay down, and we got to say no to that.
Well, the other thing I want to say about the rapture and eschatology and so on is that a lot of these right-wing churches support Israel because they feel that the Bible gives them the right to expand from the Nile to the Euphrates and beyond, you know, and it's just another propaganda ploy to support our going out there and dying for Israel because the Bible says so. Now, I don't think, I mean, this idea that Jesus will come with a rapture tomorrow, if we support Israel today, we've got our Armageddon around the corner. I mean, this is nonsense. This is just a complete sham. But why do all the right-wing evangelical Christians support this state, which
but
is
hold on, they're not right-wing, Pat. They call they're neocons.
Well, not only cons, as in con artists. But I mean, the point is that why are you supporting a country that's anti-Christian? I mean, it's not only anti-Christian, but that it's attempted to shut down Christmas, take away Christmas trees, et cetera, you know, national holiday, take away the crosses in cities. I mean, this is what we're fighting for.
Absolutely, and that's why Yitzhak Rabin was killed, because he wouldn't go along with it. And I would add to that that it's this global body. It's the large central banks, and they're made up of the Bushes, the Dutch, the British. It's all connected. Let's take some more calls. Up next is only two more calls, and we got to let our guests go. Rich in Maryland, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, you guys are right on target tonight. And Stanley, you're right about the term dual loyalists is a little generous. They are Israeli firsters, and these Zionists are running the show. And Alex, you're right that they're going after the Arabs now, but next is going to be guess what? The white people.
Yeah, well, the Arabs are not really Muslim fanatics as is presented. As I said earlier from the eyewitness, these people are more interested in Playboy than in the Koran. And
let me just say this. I don't come up with this comment out of nowhere. I look at the FBI training manuals. I have them on tape. I have them on video. And when I say white people, I want racist white America that goes, oh, yeah, Bush, kill them Arabs, kill them. You know, it's acceptable to have radio promos where it goes, look at them camels run, look at them ragheads. That's on national radio. That type of racism is acceptable, and I think it's disgusting. And then they'll come back, well, I want white America to know that what FEMA's creating, what they're training police is Christians, gun owners, homeschoolers, those that believe in the second coming of Christ. This is, I have in my film, their documents, their news articles, them on video. I want people to know that this Homeland Security deal, that they want to merge and blame the right wing, the real right wing, not the neocons, with Oklahoma City, connecting it to Iraqis. You just heard Stanley Hilton interview government officials, has the depositions, knows that these Muslims that were hired were there at World Trade Center 1, 2, and Oklahoma City. That's the frame-up. So that's what they're doing. Go ahead, Rich.
Yeah, and I think in the end, you know, well, what we're looking at here, this thing is going to be, you know, they've got up to, what, 500,000 foreign troops they're planning to put here?
Oh, let me tell Mr. Hilton about that. He's a very intelligent man, and he's written books on this subject, and again, Bob Dole's chief counsel. But I have AP, Reuters, CBC, Washington Post. This sounds so crazy, it's not my opinion. It's just like the incinerators. I can't believe them. Or torturing kids. I mean, they're saying all this. It is in my film, Road to Tyranny, Match to Terror, both of them, where they say they've signed deals to bring Dutch, Czech Republic, Mexican, Canadian, British, and yes, Israeli, all these people here, and I've been to training ops where they trained to put us in camps. They've signed the deals to bring them in to, quote, deal with American terrorists. Mr. Hilton, have you heard about that?
Yes, I have. I mean, I think that I've heard from the person that I mentioned before that was in FEMA. There's definitely an agenda here. I mean, this is something that's truly, I think, of a world historical significance with what's down the line here. I mean, this is not a minor thing. This is not about finding who caused 7/11. We know who did. He's sitting at 1600 Pennsylvania. that's where he is. I mean, we know who did it. This is all about this larger entity and what they're trying to do. This is if you look again from a historical perspective, there have been others in history who have similar goals. These ones, though, have high technology, and they're pulling the wool over Americans' eyes with the mediacs, the mass mediacs, as I call them.
And their NAFTA and GATT has been their economic warfare tool to get everybody economically dependent.
Oh, yeah, I think the attempt, the Bush depression is intentional. It's not negligent. As incompetent as Bush is, I don't think it's negligence. I think it's intentional to wreck this country's economy in order to make the people more dependent, more scared, more insecure, and the Department of Homeland Insecurity will extend to economic insecurity.
And then they're going to have national service in the new bill. There's a new bill for compulsory national service, and you will all get jobs from the government. They've even said it. I watched a Homeland Security meeting with Ridge on C-SPAN, and he said it. He said they're going to have troops in the factories.
Now, Alex, you know, what they're going to do is they're going to do the man behind the screen thing. You know what I mean? The Wizard of Oz thing. They're going to have, let's say, 500,000 foreign troops. Okay. You've got 285 million people. Most of them are armed.
Problem is, we're all balkanized fighting with each other, but it's true. A motivated minority of us can defeat this. Thanks for the call. But it takes telling the truth and getting involved. One last call for our guest, Stanley Hilton, who I really want to thank for coming on the show. Rhonda in Missouri, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Evening, gentlemen. Thank you guys for all your work. That was Congressman Moran that made that statement. He since apologized for it.
Of course, under pressure from Bush.
Yeah. So you wonder,
whose father was arrested for funding the Nazis, running almost all their operations again.
Yeah.
You know, this rapture cult kind of fits in good with the fatherland security, because when people start disappearing, they can blame it on the rapture. We can't find them. I don't know where they are. God must have took them.
Well, in South America, it's called desaparecidos, which means it disappeared. You have this in Chile and Argentina, et cetera. Whole hundreds and thousands of people disappear, and their families go marching around the central square on Saturday afternoons. I mean, that's what you're going to be seeing here pretty soon. People have disappeared, and they're going to wonder, where did they go?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's the goal here, to spread terror, to make you feel that unless you toe the line, you're going to be picked up next. That's the ultimate form of power.
And if you give in to that, they win. We got to stand up like Paul Revere and say, baby.
Let's sir, what I want to ask you is, in deposing these military, how is our military feeling about what's happened?
Lot of the military are very angry about what's happened. They don't like what they're seeing. The military are under, however, literally there is no democracy in the military. There's no freedom of speech because, you know, you're basically a foot soldier, literally, in the army. So you're the last person that was supposed to dissent. Many of them are threatened. They're threatened with court martials. They're not allowed to express freedom of speech. I wish several would resign in protest to make a point. You know, like there was a fellow that resigned from the government, I think.
Ambassador.
Yeah, right, the ambassador, to make the point. But the military is a little different. They've got
the
families.
The Washington Times reported the lowest morale ever at the Pentagon.
Yeah.
And if we, I know I spent 14 years in the service. I know if you don't speak their language, you got to keep your mouth shut or they can throw you in the brig.
Ronnie, we're almost out of time. I want to thank you for the call.
Okay.
Mr. Hilton, thanks for coming on. Thanks for all your work. As the suit develops, can we have you back on?
Sure. Sure, I'll keep you posted. And we hope that we'll be able to bring these criminals to justice eventually, because they ought to be not only in a civil lawsuit, but in a criminal court in the dock. And I'm hoping that eventually they'll all be brought down. All
and
of
you're
them,
right that
Bush and the rest.
You're right. It's a minority on the cutting edge of history. You're on that cutting edge. If we don't speak up now, our children won't have any future, will they? We're out of time with Stanley Hilton. I'll be right back. Stay with us.